Okay, let's make a start. Boker tov to everybody. I apologize for the noisy demonstrating outside, some kind of trade union demonstration. And perhaps to use an appropriate expression, we will overcome, and we'll make sure that that we don't get drowned out. I'd like to make an announcement in advance that today's shiur is sponsored by Sarah and Hanan Lehman, in honor of their grandson, Eliyah ben Miriam ve'Yigael Naveh, in honor of his bar mitzvah. So we wish them mazel tov, and we thank them for their sponsorship of the shiur, we are going to speak about a very topical issue today. We can't live in denial anymore. Pesach is just around the corner. I've even changed the title of the shiur from winter 2016 to spring 2017, so it must be real. I'd like to speak today, next week and the week after, about three issues, minhagim, to do with Pesach. With that, we'll finish our discussion about minhagim, and after Pesach, Be'ezrat Hashem, go on to something else. Obviously, the week of Pesach itself, Chol HaMoed, there will not be a shiur, but as far as I'm aware, in all the Wednesdays leading up to Pesach and immediately after Pesach, there will be, so just that 1 week of Chol HaMoed, where we will have a break for Chag. I'd like to speak this week about Kinyot. I'd like to speak next week about Gebrocht. And I'd like to speak the week after about the fascinating Indian of women leaning at the Seder night. And how that works and where it comes from, and what people do and what people don't do. Very, very fascinating minhag. But let's start with Kinyot today. Every year, everybody likes to have a conversation about Kinyot, usually something of a moaning one. Most of the people in this room, I think, grew up in Chutz La'aretz, and Kinyot was just not an issue because the products that we bought did not have Kinyot in them, and nobody ate Kinyot. Few Sephardi families, maybe. Of course, once you get to Israel, half the products on the shelves are le'ochlei Kinyot bilvad. Especially the tasty ones. And therefore, we need to look into a little bit what's going on with Kinyot, where it comes from, and how we're actually going to define it. Because every year there seems to be a new question. Quinoa is the latest few years. That's been the big cause célèbre. So is it or is it not Kinyot? There's often a discussion about different oils, sunflower seed oils, this oil, that oil. There are margarines that we always ate in London for many years under the finest hechsherim, and in this country you just can't buy them. We have to get a secret supplier to bring them from London. And the question is, where is all that from and how does it work? So let's have a look. There are quite a lot of sources on the sheet. We might not get through all of them, but it's a very big topic. The first thing which is important to note is that kidneys are not chametz, and they never will be. There is a prohibition in the Torah on eating chametz. Number one, Vayomei Moshe El Ha'am, Zachor et hayom hazeh. Remember this day, he says, Asher yetzaltem in Mitzrayim, in Beit Avadim, ki b'chozek yad Roshia, asi Hashem etchem nizeh, God took you out with a strong arm, v'lo ye'achel chametz. Chametz must not be eaten. It's very clear, chametz must not be eaten, and there is even a chi of koreis on eating chametz, on purposely on Pesach. What is chametz? So the Mishnah defines it in Pesachim very clearly. Eilu dvarim she'adam yotzei behem yidei chavoso b'Pesach. These are the following things that a person can use to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach, and by corollary, the other things will become chometz. There is a direct correlation between what is chometz and what is matzah. If it cannot become matzah to fulfill our obligation, then it cannot become chometz. The only difference between matzah and chometz is a few seconds, between 17 minutes and 18 minutes. That's the famous sweet idea that matzah and chometz have the same letters. They're basically exactly the same thing, except for the chet and the hay, and the only difference between the chet and the hay is just a tiny little gap at the very top of the second leg of the hay, and therefore chometz and matzah are effectively the same thing. What are, except for that minute, what are the things that can become matzah? Like Mishnah lists. The chitim. Chitim is wheat, we know that. Sa'orim, which is barley, that we know. Kusmin, which is spelt, not to be confused with kusemet, which is buckwheat in modern Hebrew. We'll get to that soon. But kusmin, which is spelt. Shifon, which is rye. And shibolet shual. Shibolet shual is not clear what that is. Now you are going to tell me, well, that's oats. Well, it's not so pashut what shibulat shu'el is. Most people identify with oats, but if you speak to the experts, Professor Felix in his encyclopedic account of HaTomech V'Achai B'Tanach and B'Mishnah, etc., he is doubtful whether shibulat shu'el that we have, it's oats that we have today, is really shibulat shu'el. For the purposes of Hamotzi and Shabbat, etc., everybody's happy to rely on it. But for the purposes of Matzah on Seder night, I am actually gluten-free. I'm not quite gluten-free, I'm wheat-free. And I eat oat matzahs. But on Seder night, I have a small kezayis also of wheat matzah, even though it probably doesn't do me any good. But one kezayis won't do that much harm, and because there's a doubt as to what exactly oats are. But let's assume that oats are shibulat shu'el. These are the five grains that can become chametz. Wheat, barley, rye, belt, and oats. Now, what about other things that look like them? Number three, the Gemara in Pesachim addresses this directly. Honey, ink. These, yes. Orez, v'dochen, rice, and millet, lo. They cannot become chametz. Minanimili, how do I know that? I'm a crow because the posuk says, lo tochal alav chametz, you mustn't eat any chametz, shivas yamim tochal alav matzah. You have 7 days, you must eat matzah. As we just said, if something that can become chametz, only that you can use for matzah. Yatsu, which excludes elu she'ein va'ein lidei chimut, certain things don't become chametz, they don't go through a process of fermentation. Ela lidei sirachon. Sirachon means they kind of rot. They kind of go off. And the Gemara identifies that rice, if left to ferment, or millet, if left to ferment, doesn't turn into chametz, it doesn't ferment, it just goes bad. And therefore, it says these things cannot be used to eat matzah. If you make matzah out of rice flour or corn flour, that matzah is not kosher for to do the mitzvah on Pesach. It may be kosher on Pesach for those who eat kidneyot in terms of the kashrut, but it's not suitable for matzah. So too, rice and millet cannot be chametz. Rash explains. Number four. Orez v'dochen, ein osim chametz. They just don't become chametz. The im machmitzin otam, if you try to make them into chametz, masrichin, they just go off. In fact, the Gemara explicitly says that the Amorim had rice at their Seder. Look in number five. My shnei tavshilin, the two cooked dishes that we have on our Seder plate, as a zeichel Pesach and a zeichel Chagiga, in place of the korbanos. So the Gemara goes through various different possibilities of what they could be. So Amar Rav Huna suggests silka, which is beets, the orza, and rice. He uses those on his dishes, not a shank bone and an egg, but a plate of beets and a plate of cooked rice. Rava Havamida are silka the orza, and Rava would go try find dafka beets and dafka rice. Fill the nachmi before the Rav Huna, since Rav Huna said that. Meaning, Rav Huna said basically any vegetables will do. But Rava, you know, it was a bit of a chosid of Rav Huna. If the Rebbe said rice and the Rebbe said beets, then rice and beets it will be. Ah, he just gave an example. So he will have rice and beets like the Rebbe did, and Rava had rice also for his Seder. Amar Rav Ashi, later Amar says, Shmamina the Rav Huna. You can see from this practice of Rav Huna, who ate rice at the Seder, that no one is obviously worried about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's halacha. What is that? The Tani Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer Ored Min Daganhu. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said that he thought that rice was a grain. V'chayvim achimutz koreis, and you are chayiv on eating rice on Pesach koreis as chometz. V'adam yotzeboi yidechavos of the Pesach, and a person can use rice for rice matzah as well. You see, says Rav Ashi, from Rav Huna's practice to have cooked rice at the Seder, that he obviously doesn't hold by Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, cooked rice at the Seder is a place for chametz at the Seder. So clearly we don't hold by that. And indeed that is the halacha. The Rambam is explicit and everybody agrees, nobody disagrees on this. Ein, number six. Ein isur mishum chametz for Pesach ela chameshes mini dati dovan. Only the five grains. Vehein shnei mini chitin, these are two types of wheat. Shehein achita v'hakus hamet, spelt is a form of wheat. The shoshes mini hasorim and three variations of barley, which are sarat, shibolet, shual, v'shipot. Barley, oats, and rye. Aval ha-kitniot, and now we see a reference to kitniot. Kitniot just means smalls. Perhaps in English doesn't translate too well, but small things. Get that? Let lower grade, vegetables, which are inferior. Kagon, Orez V'dochen, Upulim, he mentions here peas, V'adashim lentils, U'kuyotzi behem, Ein behem mishum chomets, these are not chomets. El afilu lash kemach Orez, even if you wanted to knead rice dough, U'kuyotzi bo, U'rovchin in hot water, V'kisal v'vagadim, and you wrap it with clothes to try and make it ferment, Hashim nitpach until it puffs up, Kumon basek, like dough, Shachomets, Shechmitz rather, Harizem mutabachira. You are allowed to eat that on Pesach. She'ein ze chimutz ela tira. And therefore that is the clear halacha. No one should have any more to say. Rice, peas, lentils, etc. A mutza on Pesach. Comes along the Ashkenazim, the Sefer Mitzvot Katana, who is one of the Balei HaTosfos. With the smack, here we are again, we're having quite a lot. He brings you one of the first references. Look at what he says here in number 7. Zara kitniyot kugon pwa. He's French. Okay, pwa. Okay, peas. Upuli, veraiz. Riz. Okay, which is rice. Va'adashim. Ukiyot behem. Rabboseinu nogim behem issa. There is a minag, and we'll have to define what that means, a minag, not to eat them. Shalol ocham apesach klar. Ukidoylim nogim behem hetzer. But he says already in Ashkenaz in France in the 1200s, many great people do eat kidneys, even in the Ashkenazi world. Umayri Rabbeinu Yechiel, and my master Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, who was one of the key Balei HaTosfos in the 1200s, Hayanogna Echol Pesach Pulalavan, he used to eat peas, Shekorim Puat, Vagam Hayaomekem B'Shem Gedolim, he used to say that lots of other Gedolim ate peas on Pesach as well, I have no problem. Or maybe raya that afilu ba'aris techashiv lei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri min dagim legabichimetz, and he brings a raya from the Gemara that even rice, which Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri thinks is chometz, ta'ama Talmudah, the Gemara says clearly leis techashla. We don't have to worry about the had Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Mihu, nevertheless, I'm on the fourth line of number 7. Mihu, nevertheless, he says, even though these great gedolim eat kidneys on Pesach, even in Ashkenazi lands, kasher davam od lahatir. I find it very hard to allow it. And that's interesting. The Chachamim HaKadmonim, he says, if this is in the 13th century, have already had a minhag not to eat kidneys. Now, who's he talking about? Presumably, if you say something is Kadmon, it must go back at least a couple hundred years. So going back to the time of the late Gaonim, early Rishonim in Ashkenaz, he says people just didn't eat kidneys. He hasn't given a reason yet. When we stammer loy nagavo isa machmas chimutz, clearly they didn't think it was chometz. They're not child. They have an adult understanding of Gemara. The loy tau b'davar sheyat tinoika shel beis rabban shelam du halacha yodin, that any kid who knows the halacha knows that rice cannot be chometz. No one says he can. Ye'ikav ahedu pesachim de'ein bali dechim. Meaning, if they didn't eat kidneys, it wasn't anything to do with chometz, because every school child knows that peas and rice cannot ever be chometz. So he says, so why was it? Only the 5 minim can be chometz. Why do I think we should keep this minim, he says. It's not because of chometz. Kitalzu, that's just a mistake. If you think kidneys is chometz, you're just mistaken. It's because of a gezeira. Now we have to analyze this. What does a gezeira mean? A decree.
And who gave it?
Good question. Who gave this decree? Meaning, is it a minhag or is it a decree? What is it? And we'll see a very important difference on that opinion on that. They came in a kidney as masakideru, since you can make kidneys into cooked dishes, lentils, etc. V'dagin nami masakidera, and grains also make similar cooked dishes. Kedaisa, like oatmeal porridge. E have a sharini kidneys, if we allow kidneys. People who weren't that educated would see you were eating a bowl of, I don't know, buckwheat or soya or whatever it was, porridge, and they'd say, oh, I never realized you could have porridge on Pesach. I'm going to do that next year. Okay? Since both of these look very similar as a cooked dish. The gam midi the midgam hu, they're also types of grain. They're very similar. In fact, you know and I know that rice in halacha is a kind of wannabe grain. What is the bracha we make on rice? Mezonot. Not really mezonot. And we don't make alamichia when we've eaten rice. We make borei fashot. Because you know and I know that rice is not really mazanot. But rice doesn't seem to know that. Because it looks like that. So we give it a mazanot. We say mazanot on rice because it's zan, because it sustains and it's used as a staple like grain and it grows like grain. But it's not really grain. And therefore, he says, people get mixed up. There are even places, he says, that make bread. Just like they do from the five grains. Rice cakes, etc. Well, akash ati lechlufi. Now, what we call rice cakes today, I don't think anyone could confuse with anything edible. But nevertheless, and I say that as a gluten-free person, but nevertheless, did they make cornbread and things like that? We'll talk about corn soon, because of course they didn't have corn. Ati lechlufi laos an she'enum b'nei Torah. People who are not so learned will make mistakes. But lo damad b'nei yirakot. Now, you're going to say, well, let's make a gezeira on everything. Say you can't eat vegetables on Pesach. No, he says, that's not the same. Kagon kruv, cabbage, he said, bakarshin, and vetch. He said, it's not the same. They don't look like grain at all. V'loi ati lichlufi, no one's going to get those mixed up. Minhag hagenhu, and I think it's a great minhag, he says, lehizahar mikol kidneys kidaprashin, and said, not eat kidneys on Pesach. Afinu mechardal, even mustard. Now mustard they had in the Middle Ages. Now what's with mustard? Oh, if you look how rough mustard grows, it looks a little bit like a grain. Mishum de havi midi de midyan. Rough mustard even looks a little bit like that, or we see that the mustard's not really a grain, but that's included as well. That I gather the Talmud is Shari Orez, even though you'll tell me that the Talmud, the Gemara, explicitly permits flour. Though that could be a mayhem. That was back in their day. Shehayukulam baki and bahalocha behilchas itzavaheta. You could trust the Chazal. They knew what they were doing. These days, he says, back in the 12th, 13th century, people just aren't what they used to be, and you can't be too careful, therefore. No kidneys for the Ashkenazim. Even though he records clearly that there were many Ashkenazim, Gedolim as well, who did eat kidneys in his time. There's another reason which is given, which is not his reason, that people might mistake the flour or the cooked dishes. If you look in the Taz for a second, number 8, Yesh Oisrin, he brings a third reason, Hatam b'tor lefi sheminei chitin mitarvin bahem. People often would find, obviously their packaging techniques were not particularly sterile, if you like, and they had a packaged rice, and you would often find grain of corn or barley or whatever it was, together with the rice, and obviously that's a big problem on Pesach. Correct, and there's a big problem on Pesach because if you were to pour rice into a cooked dish and it turns out there's some grain in the dish, that's mamash chometz, and you have to throw it away. Don't forget, chometz on Pesach itself is not bottled b'shishim. Unlike a treif or milk and meat, which is nullified in 60, chometz is not bottled even be'elef. So if you find a tiny grain of chometz which was cooked together with your rice, you would be in trouble. And the Mishnah Berurah number 9 brings those three reasons, like I mentioned. Number 1, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but that they're harvested and processed in the same way as chometz, it's kidneys. Number 2, they're ground into flour and baked into dishes similar to chometz, and people might make mistakes. And number 3, that there are often grains of chometz mixed in with the packaging. And as you know, people who do eat kidney on Pesach are either very careful to check them, extremely careful to check them before Pesach, or they buy something with a hechsher, kosher Pesach, pre-checked, packets of rice, packets of corn, whatever it is. And obviously, the Sfaradim who do eat kidney are very particular not to eat chametz, but they do, as I said, eat kidneys. This concern that people would make mistakes is a real concern. You can never overestimate the number of misunderstandings that people will come to on things like this. Someone told me a scary story once of somebody who, tasted people's cakes on Pesach, what have you, and they said, oh, they were quite delicious, you know, is there anything special about the flour used on Pesach? And the person misunderstood them and said, oh yes, we have to use special kosher Pesach flour, and when we make matzahs, it's very careful, etc. And the next year, she made some delicious cakes, and they said, how do you make your cakes taste so good? She said, well, I followed your advice. I was very careful before Pesach to buy kosher Pesach flour, and I made with kosher Pesach flour cakes in a regular way, meaning she made chometz on Pesach. Because she thought that if there's magic in the flour plus the water will be all kosher Pesach. Of course, that's nonsense. Kosher Pesach flour is chometz if you mix it with water. She got mixed up with matzah meal or whatever it is. So people do make mistakes, and that's why this minhag came about. In fact, already by the Maharil is an Ashkenazi in the 1400s, and he records many of the they're having fun outside, right? Many of them in Hagim of Ashkenaz, and he says the following, quite Harif, number 10. Kidniyot kol minayu, okay, minayu, all of the different types of kidniyot, amamar rashti gazrinon shalol avashlam apesach. There is a gezeru, we are not allowed to cook them on Pesach. Ba'afal pi shalomach mitzin ki im heyam minim, even though only the 5 minim become chometz. Ba'al yom adam, let no one ever say, kivan she'ein isu midoraita. It's not really that important. It's not a doraita. Ein lachush lekol degaz v'rabonam. Let no one say that they're not going to bother. The kol degaz v'rabonam, if the rabbis made the gezera, ha'oiva alav chayav misa. If you break a gezera of the rabbis, he says you are chayav misa. Va'oiva alav sasa min adava asher yerucha. Now, where he gets the misa from is the Gemara that says that if a person is placed fast and loose with the rabbinic authority, that's a much more serious aveira than just eating something out of Yetzer Hara. And therefore, he seems to be saying here, equating the minhag of kidneyot with a din d'rabbanan. And he's saying that if you break the minhag of kidneyot, you are over on a din d'rabbanan, you're over on lo sasa, which really is a din d'oraisa, and you may be even chayv misa, mean that midei shamayim. He's really coming down hard on the, no one should mess around with kidneyot. Oh, so that's a very good question. Usually we say, and we'll get to this soon, Lo Sasar is talking about Chazal. Not your local rabbi, not your local minhag. And therefore we will see that Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees with this analysis, and we'll see what he says soon. Nevertheless, it's important to record that all through this period, there were even Ashkenazim that were very dubious about this minhag. Look at the Rosh. There is no greater Ashkenazi posek in the mid, was shown in period than the Rosh. He lived in Germany in the 1300s. He went to live in Spain after the Rindfleisch massacres, and he says the following, number 11. The late Hilchas like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, we do not paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Da'asav ha'oriz, he asks oriz v'doichem, yipnei she'korav le'ichnit, because he thinks that they all come to chametz. Because of she'em ha'chameshet l'minim, ein bo lidechem, because he paskin. Unless it's one of the 5 grains, it's not chametz. U'mutzah la'asot mimenu tashil v'pesach. And he says straight, you're allowed to make rice dishes on Pesach. There's no problem with it at all. His own son, the Tur, who was also Ashkenazi, although he lived much of his life in Spain, he even called it number 12 over to page 3, the Chumra Yeterahu, the Loin Nahaguke. It's an excessive Chumra, and people don't keep it, which is interesting. And in Spain, people didn't keep it, but he's an Ashkenazi. Rabbeinu Yerucham, who was a colleague of the Tur in Spain, says, sorry, it won't help to clap. Minek shtutu, says Rav Yerucham. He says it's nonsense. Maybe people want to have a personal chumra. But I've no idea why they would want to do this on Pesach. And based on Beit Yosef, says in number 14, quite dismissively, "V'leis tachash ledvarim halalu." Nobody is bothered about these things. Zulati ha'ashkenazim, apart from the Ashkenazim. In the Shulchan Aruch itself, the Shulchan Aruch records number 15. The elu dvarim sheyotzim b'dei chimus, b'chitzim b'soirim b'kusim b'shuval eshul b'shifon, aval lo ba'orez b'shal mina kitnius, v'gam elu b'ayim b'dei chimus u'musel asal mehem tasha. The Shulchan Aruch just records with no hesitation. You can make rice dishes on Pesach. The Ramah comes in and says, "V'yesh oisre." No, not so fast. People say no. V'haminag v'ashkenaz l'hachmer v'ein l'shanot. Don't mess with it, says the Ramah. Don't mess with the minag. The minag is not to eat kidneyot at all. And the Vilna Gaon, actually, who supported this minag, will see that the Vilna Gaon was not a fan of gebrochot as a minag, and there is good evidence from Adim that the Vilna Gaon had knedlach with his chicken soup. More of that next week. But that's gebrochot. But kidneys, he said, absolutely no. And he even found a hint for it in the Gemara. If you look for a second in number 17, the Vilna Gaon's already in the Achronim. Number 16, the Vilna Gaon, but number 17 is the Gemara he found. He says, Rav Poppy, Shari le leburdiki, Rav Poppy used to allow bakers, the Bein Reish Galuta, or cooks really, not bakers, cooks in the house of the Reish Galuta, the Mamacha Kedera B'Chassisi, to thicken up the dishes with Chassisi, Madi Chassisi, Tosfos says, Kemach shel adashim. She'ein darcham levoli dechimos. Meaning, he used to allow them to put lentil flour into the dishes on Pesach. Rava, says the Gemara, was shocked. I'm a Rava. Ike the shari ki heichet ki hai milta. Can you ever be lenient with such a thing? Vajuchta the shrichi avdi? In a place where there are avadim? Meaning, avadim were amoraxim. The Reish Galus's house was full of amoraxim. Sometimes the Reish Galus himself was an amha'aretz. There's a whole discussion about that very often tomorrow. Says Rava, how dare you allow people to use lentil flour in a place which is full of amoraxim? And the Vilna Gaon says, what was his concern? Kidneys! He's worried that the amoraxim would see you putting lentil flour in, and they would think, well, if that's okay, then this is okay. And therefore he says he sees this as a hint to kidneys even in the Gemara. Although the Gemara goes on to say, Ikada Amri, number 17, there's another version of what Rava said, which is, Rava Gufi Machi Le Kedere B'Chasita, the Rava himself used lentil flour, but maybe that's because there weren't amoraxim around, but the Vilna Gaon wants to find a hint for it in the Gemara. But at the end of the day, there really isn't a clear Gemara that deals with kidneyot. In fact, the Gemara says explicitly that it's okay. And there were acharonim, not many, but there were a few, even in the Ashkenazi world, that were very against it. Guaranteed to say something different from almost anyone else you've ever heard say anything is Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden had a dramatic and often controversial opinion on so many things. I gave a shir about Rav Yaakov Emden in the Knesset HaNasi a few months ago. And one of his very strong opinions was Kitniyot. Issue number 18. Ma'adani ala vimori. I give edus, he says, on my father, Hagon Zecha Tzalik Livracha, who was the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi was the father of the Rav Yaakov Emden. Kama nitzair otot tzadik al zot. How distressed the Chacham Tzvi was on the minhag of Kitniyot. Kol chag hamatzos hayam mitra'im. All through Pesach, he would thunder, he says, for Omer, if I only had the strength, I would get rid of this ridiculous minhag. Shehu chumra, because it's a chumra sha'af leko, which comes to an enormous leniency. Why? Because all through Pesach, people can't eat what they would normally eat as kidneys. So what do they eat? They eat matzah, more matzah, more matzah, more matzah, more matzah. The one thing on Pesach which is most likely to be contaminated with chametz, it's matzah. Meaning, we have Baruch Hashem now, machine matzahs, and very strict checking regimes in the matzah factories. But if you weren't from such a careful background, or whatever, the matzah factory is a bit far from this, your matzah is going to be chametz. I once remember a conversation I had with Dan Lopian, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, many years ago. I asked him, foolishly, does he eat hand matzahs at the Seder, or does he eat machine matzahs? So he looked at me and he said, I don't like chometz at my seder. Okay? He doesn't like chometz at his seder. Hand matzahs! Meaning, how do I know which Shiva Bokram have been cooking, baking hand matzahs? I don't. Machine matzahs, nothing can go wrong with a machine matzah in terms of chometz. You press the button, it does its thing, and the problem with machine matzahs is it good for shmura matzahs? Can you have l'shem mitzvah matzah on a machine matzah? That's a whole debate, which is not for now. But as far as chometz is concerned, machine matzahs are for sure safer. And therefore, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was very upset people ate matzahs. Al Kain, Ani Omer Hamavatl Min Agzeh. I'm on the second line of 18. Therefore, I want to make an announcement, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden. If you're able to get rid of this minag, okay, shal meniyat ochle kidneyot, achilas kidneyot, the people who don't eat kidneys, yehi chol chelki imoy. I'm with you, he says. If you can get rid of that minag. Halavai yaskimu imadi gedolei hador. If only the gedolei hador agreed with me, the machuz halazet haneni liyot nitzpal adavon. I would do it. I'd do it tomorrow, he says. But the gedolei hador didn't agree with him. And just to conclude this section, in number 19, the Shari Tshuva records a little bit of a revolution against kidneyot in the Ashkenazi world. But he said we managed to put it down. Number 19. Even in a situation where it's a bit pressing, it's difficult without kidneyot, ein lahatiram verinot elu. You cannot allow kidneyot in our countries. Shelo yivo liprot geder, because it's pre-poret geder. V'chein amadav, and that's what the people do. Ubamakam echa, there was one place, he says, amduk tzav me'achachamim shirotu liprot bezeh. There were a few chachamim who tried to break through this barrier. The loyal to the Yadam, but they did not succeed in getting rid of the minnow. The Fishachach mihador migedoli Ashkenaz chardu likratam v'amdu beperes. Because the gedoli hador stood as one, on this issue at least, okay, and they stopped this this attack, this assault on Kineas. And it's a definite if. So Kineas is here definitely in a very real way with the Ashkenazim, and all attempts to get rid of it have failed. What is Kineas? So as I said, broadly it's defined as plants or vegetables, but not trees. We'll see, things that grow on trees are not Kineas, whose primary produce are edible seeds and which thus share certain qualities with and can be confused with the five grapes. Or alternatively, products whose recipes and cooked dishes, etc., look similar to those of the five grains. Alternatively, maybe additionally, those where you could have contamination between the two. And therefore, I've given you a list of kidneys which were included in the original minhag from the Middle Ages. And they include beans, buckwheat, these are all old crops, chickpeas, green beans, lentils, peas, mustard, millet, rice, saffron, sesame seeds, string beans and sunflower seeds. There are many more as well, but at least these were things that existed at the time. Mustard, I mentioned before, was a bit of a strange inclusion because it really isn't the same as the others. And the Taz points that out in number 20. The Taz says, Kazav Ramah Shechardal Ein Ochlem Pesach. He quotes the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch who says, we don't eat chardal, we don't eat mustard on Pesach. Quinoa we'll get to. They didn't have quinoa then. It comes from South America. I don't know why it's different. We'll get to potatoes in a minute. I don't know why mustard is different from anise. Because anise is mutter. The nearer I found a fish, like you said, that mustard grows on very similar looking ears of wheat, like wheat. But don't make little kidneys and get have a bechlal isa kidneys. Meaning, even though it doesn't quite make sense, the mustard should be included. At the end of the day, you can't really argue with the minhag. Because if the minhag is the minhag, that's the minhag. Does it always make 100% sense? No, because the minhag is what people do. What is your opinion of people? So we'll see soon whether we trust the olam. The olam, the Jewish olam, are they trustworthy or are they not? So people say different things about the olam. They say the olam are gedolim. Or they say the olam is a golem. So it depends on what your view is, we'll see soon. So what are not included? Spices. Spices are generally not included in the kidneyot. And there are more even records in number 21, various different spices that are not included. He says anise and oleander, enum mine kidneyot and mutalach on the Pesach. And similarly, as we said before, beans that grow on trees, like chocolate, would not normally, coffee we'll get to as well, would not normally be included. However, this raises an interesting question, which is the minhag of kidneys was formed in the Middle Ages. A number of species were discovered subsequently in the 15th, 16th, 17th, 1800s, especially in the New World. Once you opened up North and South America, you had all sorts of new species coming over, and they presented halakhic challenges. We've talked already before about turkey. The turkey obviously is not kidneyos, in case you were about to get worried about that. Turkey is a shadow whether it's kosher or not. Someone decided turkeys were basically big chickens. Since chickens are kosher, turkeys must be kosher. Delo pashut. But in terms of kidneyos, you have shadows of corn or maize, which comes from the New World, coffee, peanuts, and most recently, quinoa. So let's have a look at what some of the posts can say about this. Let's deal with maize. Everybody agrees that corn is definitely kidneyot, even though there was no corn in the Middle Ages. The Mishnah Berurah says, number 22, V'tartiki, I may not be pronouncing these right, shekorin etzlenu grika, this is buckwheat, V'kakarzi, shekorin etzlenu turkish avait, which is maize, Turkish wheat, okay, gamke mine kidneyot hay. Everybody agrees on that, that is absolutely the case, and you can see why corn would be a prime candidate for kidneyot. It's very similar to millet, and it's very similar to grains, and it's an obvious candidate, and therefore it fits right into the definition, even if it was discovered later. However, potatoes presented a major problem, because potatoes don't look anything like grain, but they do, when they're produced into flour, look very like flour. And potato flour became a staple in Europe in the 1700s, 1800s. And we will see now, therefore, many Rabbonim in Europe decided that this was indeed kidneyot. Number 23. The Nishmat Adam, who is the Rav Avraham Danziger, who is Chai Adam, the Chochmas Adam, he writes the following in the 1700s, late 1700s. Shamati, I have heard, he says, Sheba Kila Kadosha Furda, which is Furt, in Bavaria, Beshnat Tav Kuf Lamed Aleph, which is 1771, I've heard Shahaya Rav Godel that there was a very serious famine that Ashkenaz in the population there. Hoshibu based in Vehitiru Bulbas.
Bulbas
is potatoes. I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother used to call them bulbas. So they allowed bulbas. Shekorin Erd Apfel. And if you know German, you'll know Erd Apfel is a potato. Pomme de terre. Exactly. Okay. Tapuach Adama, it's the same.
Yeah, yeah.
They had potatoes for sure.
Yeah.
Kiba Ashkenaz, ain ochlin gam kein bulbas, because we don't eat bulbas. We don't eat potatoes in Ashkenaz. Kisham otin kemach mehem, because people make flour out of potatoes. And I heard, he records, that once there was a famine, and they allowed people to eat potatoes. Okay, it's sort of almost the opposite of the, you know, the potato famine. And therefore, he clearly records that there were minhagim in Europe where potatoes, and one can understand why, were clearly prohibited as kidneyot. However, the Prima Godim in number 24 and 25 clearly says that that is not the case. I'm not going to go through all of them, and he says that we do eat potatoes. Baruch Hashem for that, otherwise people would really have nothing to eat on Pesach. And I actually heard that many Gedolim in Europe were against prohibiting potatoes simply because there really was nothing else to eat. If you can't eat chametz, and you can't eat rice, and you can't eat corn, etc., potatoes really is the staple. And as you know, almost every Pesach recipe is potatoes, potatoes, potatoes. So the Prima Godim recalls that potatoes were permitted unless people had a clear personal minhag not to eat them. And then he also deals with coffee. The Shari Tshuva also picks up coffee. Look at number 26. Godel echad haya machmir af bekafe. He recalls. There were certain people who were machmir with coffee on Pesach. Afar gav the zavdai pre ate too. Even though, as I said before, it really coffee grows on trees, and there's really no reason why coffee should be kidneyot because it's not in any way similar. Nir shirot lahachmir lefisha hamoin lo yad umahu. Most people don't really know what coffee is. You show them a coffee bean, and they say, "Oh, beans! You can't eat beans on Pesach. You know that." Okay. The yid mushu gam kein min kidneyot. They'll think it's kidneyot. They are tiru hakol. He wrote to Gedi Harishonim, and they will end up, like we said before, making mistakes, etc. So he recalls that there were people who did not eat coffee, and not drink coffee. Whether they ate chocolate or not is a good question. I've never seen anyone recorded a minag not to eat chocolate. I suspect they really didn't have chocolate, because who could afford chocolate in the 1700s? But clearly they drank coffee. In fact, we have Chassan Sofer there, cocoa maybe, but that's a bit later. I don't know how early cocoa was. But they had cocoa in England in the 1700s, for sure. I don't know whether it penetrated to the Jewish population. We know they drank coffee because the Chassan Sofer in the 1800s has a fascinating tshuva about a Shabbos clock, an early Shabbos clock from the 1800s. What did they do? They had a pot of coffee on a kindling wood, which they left on Friday afternoon. And when just before Shabbos came in, he writes, they lit a fuse, a very long-burning fuse that would burn through the night, and at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, it would hit the wood, it would heat the coffee, and everyone could have a cup of coffee on Shabbos morning before Shacharis. He writes, he discusses whether that was okay, whether that was not okay, but you see, they were very inventive. Even before electricity, they found a way to make a Shabbat clock. But Rashnir Zalman, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, says he doesn't really have any patience with coffee and potatoes, etc. He says, really, it's just things which are dagan, things which are grain, and therefore corn, obviously, is a candidate, but the other ones we've discussed are not. This brings us to the next question, which, what about derivatives of kidneyot? What about oils of kidneyot, extracts, syrups, etc.? So the Ramon writes that oil of kidneyot is also kidneyot. Look at number 28. Haminag ba'ashkenaz, says Ramon, lahachmer ba'ein l'shanot, we saw before, we do not allow kidneyot in Ashkenaz. But you are allowed to eat light oils which are made from kidney. Explains the Mishnah Brura. The loy nagu isura ela ba'achila v'loy ba'hanah. There is no prohibition on benefiting from kidneyot, only from eating kidneyot. You see clearly from here that the oil of kidneyot is still kidneyot. It's just that you can't eat it, but you can burn it.
We'll see.
There were many people who did use oil. There were many people who didn't agree with this. If you look here in number 29, in certain kinds of oil anyway, meaning many of the quote-unquote new kidneyot that they discovered later, people were more inclined to be lenient with the oils, because it was not so straightforward. If you look here in Rav Dovitzvi Hoffman lived in Germany in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He writes, the Ikka Gezeris kidneyot, Lai Hayo Al Peiris Kaelu. So certain things were not included in kidneyot. I'm inclined to allow certain kinds of oil, he says. He's not prepared to go it alone, but he's prepared a little bit to allow certain kidneyot oil. And I want to add to you, he quotes Rav Hirsch, he allowed the Frankfurt domain. Rav Hirsch in Frankfurt on mine, the Hati Shemin Shum Shemin. He allowed sesame oil, Rav Hirsch. Ba'achakach Shamati, and I also heard Shehagoin the Kovna, the Goin of Kovna, who was of course Rav Yitzchak Elchonon Spector, he also in Sefer Ber Yitzchak hit a Shemin Shum Shemin. And therefore we see something of a difference of opinion with oils, whereas the sort of classic kidney oil, corn oil, etc., corn syrup, people were inclined not to allow. Nevertheless, certain of the quote-unquote newer kidneyot, they were more lenient on. And therefore, I brought you a list here at the bottom, the various different oils which cause problems. Canola oil, dextrose, glucose, which are derived in that way, corn oil, lecithin, corn syrup, soy oil, and rice drink. And this has an impact on the production of chocolate, margarine, ice creams, mayonnaise, etc., etc. Finally, on this question of different types of kidneyot, what about, and this is a very interesting modern-day machlokas in the Israel, what about denatured kidneyot? This is like one stage even more removed. Meaning, the kidneyot has now been changed in some chemical way so that it bears very little resemblance to its former self. And this is very important for certain chemical products that we produce from kidneyot, like, and I've given you a list of here, aspartame, an artificial sweetener. I'm sure you'll be aware that when you go shopping for your sodas on Pesach, so regular Coca-Cola comes with a Rav Landau Hasher. But Diet Coke does not come with a Rav Landau Hasher, it comes with a Rabbanut Hasher. Why will Rav Landau not give his Hasher to Diet Coke, but he will give it to regular Coke? And the answer is the sweetness, at least this is one of the answers. By the way, Coca-Cola production is a fascinating thing on Pesach. Some of the Coca-Cola production is actually done in Ireland, or used to be done in Ireland. And Rob once I heard speak about the cashless procedure for how they make Coca-Cola, which is kosher Pesach. They have to change some key ingredients. They have to go to the factory. They have to kasher the big metal tankers. Okay? And they kasher. They basically kasher these enormous metal tankers, and they fill it with a number of consignments of kosher Pesach Diet Coke. Basically, what they take the concentrate and they put the fizz in Bnei Brak in the Coca-Cola factory. So they ship, they produce this kosher Pesach concentrate, and then they put the fizz in later. But the diet stuff has a bunch of other stuff in it too. So do we allow that or not? And that actually is a fascinating machlokas brought in Mishnah Brura about perfume, which is made from musk. Now, what is musk?
Musk is
not a plant. Musk is an extract from the saliva gland on the neck of a deer. Okay? And it's very, very pungent, very potent, and they use it in perfume making. Have a look in number 30. Here the Mishnah Brura is talking about making brachas on smells, on perfume, but he brings in this interesting kashrus question. Vadak, he says number 30. Shehamusk zeh. Yesh omrim shebami zeyachaya. It comes from the sweat glands of a beast. Yesh omrim shebami dam shechaya. Or alternatively, maybe other types of it, or the different opinions, it comes from the blood of the chaya, chaya achash, mitkabet b'tzavara, the blood gathers in the neck there. V'achakach mityabesh. What they do then is they dry it out completely. V'na'aseh bosan. And they make it into perfume. Well, a feast for a zahachrona, and according to the view that it's made from blood, and blood is not kosher, yesherotu la'asra akol panim latet b'kedera. Can you put this extract, he says, into your cooking? Now, I don't exactly know which recipes call for a sprinkle of musk, but you never know. La'af imberecho ifatashel, to bring a nice smell to your cooking. Can you put that into your food? The dam asav achila. If it's blood, it's awesome. You can't put blood in your food to make it taste good or smell good. Oh, it says, V'harbe poiski matirin. Many poiskin say it's fine. Afilu l'tet b'kadeira. You could even put it into your food. V'azlin and basa hashta, because we look at it as it is right now. V'hashta lav dam hu. Because it's not blood now, he says. Ela afra ba'alma. It's dust. The same question, by the way, can be asked about gelatin. If you take gelatin from trace sources, process it, turn it into basically powder, there's almost no resemblance to its former self. Do you now say this is a ponim chazoshes, if you like, it's a whole new thing, and therefore it's not trait, it's perfectly fine or not. So here in the question of musk, he brings down that opinion. V'ayin ve'elia rabba, shemitzadeh l'hoiras kidibrehem, and he says, we're inclined to be lenient, okay, especially, he says, ola hakel aflechatchila v'yesh shishim kenegdu v'tash, especially if it's pocket of shishim. There are posting that say if you're dealing with a din d'rabbanon, maybe you could be inclined to be lenient. And therefore many hechsherim, including the rabbanot hechsher, take the view that with kidniot, since kidniot, sof sof, is a minhag, it's not appropriate to be machmir with kidniot in a way that we would maybe be machmir with a musk for a din d'oraisa or whatever. And even then there are people who are makel with that. And therefore that's why many hechsherim allow you to put these products in, and I've made a list of them. Of course, in today's complicated world, you have a lot of chemicals. Monosodium glutamate, that's a favorite of everybody, right? Sorbitol, ascorbic acid. These are all made ultimately from kidney oat, and therefore different hashirim go different ways based on this machlok. Let's talk more in principle now. What is the nature of kidney oat as a decree? And this might differ, this might lead us to understand why different opinions, different kashrus authorities differ in the way that they deal with it. Actually, even louder, I think, next time. Okay, still working. Let me just talk about this for a couple of minutes. There is a major debate here between, on the one hand, the Chochmas Adam, on the other hand, Rav Moshe Feinstein. What is the nature of the prohibition of kidney oat? Let's look at a few lines from both of those. Have a look at number 31. He's writing about buckwheat, the high Adam in the early 1800s. He says, Shai, Shnat Tav Kuv Samach Vav, 1806. Shenizrabu Gushamim, there was a lot of rain that year. V'hayadoich Gadol La'aniyim, and it ruined a lot of crops. Shloy Hayav Eshalim Tzoch Chitim Tsherim, they couldn't find proper kosher wheat for matzahs, etc. Him Yesh La'hati La'echo Kitniyot Umin Ravka. Buckwheat, can they eat buckwheat? Shenizpashit Aminag B'chol Ashkenaz V'sarfad Shelo La'achar M'Pesach. And we don't eat buckwheat normally on Pesach. Can we allow it? So he says a couple of things. We need to work out where the issa comes from. Many people mistakenly, he says, think that kineas is just, quotes and quotes, just a minhag. And it doesn't seem that way to me. Ki amayim v'rambam, look in the Rambam, mehilchas mamrim, shekos as a kol ha'prikonash yesh behem aseh, the lois aseh. He says a similar thing to what we saw in the Ma'aril. That any takana of the rabbis, of Chazal, is really two Torah mitzvahs. It's a positive and a negative mitzvah. And any basin in any city, even today, he says, and he says a very interesting thing that not everyone would agree with. That even a local basin today, in the 21st century, or in the 15th century, or in the 12th century, is able to make a takana which has the power of Chazal. The imke yesh lekol takanat Chazal akal or beitin din isur d'rabanan, and therefore every takana that is made by the local beitin has the status of a rabbinic law. Well, it is din loy kasher miti de b'davar she'na'aseh al pi haskamat hatzibur. Also as well, something that the public as a whole has agreed upon, havikanase alpi basin, that has the same quality as something made by a basin. The ein lo hatara, you just can't do hataras nadarim on that. You can't get out of kidneys. And then he says, if you go down a couple of lines, therefore kaven shenis pashet minak zeh, therefore since this minak of kidneys has been so widespread, so accepted, and made by the middle, Batidin in the Middle Ages, loy gara mimin hasheich miru benot Yisrael alatman mispor shivanikiyim. And he makes a very interesting comparison. That shivanikiyim, which is the halachic requirement that a woman who is becoming tahora from her yemein nida, even though if you look in the Torah, there is no such thing as shiva nikiyim for nida. Nida just requires a person to keep 7 days from when the bleeding started to when it finishes, and even if the bleeding finished that day, as long as there was a hefsek tahora, according to the din Torah of nida, then the woman could go to the mikvah that day. However, says the Gemara, the Benos Yisrael were nagu al atzman, they accepted on themselves, that because of various different questions of whether exactly they were nida or whether they were zava, a zava is required to keep shiva nikiyim after she finishes bleeding. Therefore, the accepted minhag Yisrael was that any time any woman experienced uteral bleeding, she always kept shiva nikiyim as well. Even though mitzad hadin in the Torah itself, that was not obviously required if she was not a zava. And just like there is no way that anyone would ever change that, and there isn't, and even in cases of extreme need, even in cases of infertility, etc., you will not find the poskim compromised in any way on shiva nikiyim. So too, he says, we can compare kidneys in that way to shiva nikiyim. Just like you wouldn't mess with this, so too you wouldn't mess with that. And that kind of thinking is one of the reasons why you find people more inclined to say something like quinoa is yes, kidneys. Because we treat kidneys seriously and we give it chumrah. Because we treat it like a din derabanan, and anyone who breaks a din derabanan, it's chayav misa, we saw before, and midei shamayim, and there's two dinei Torah in every din derabanan, and that's where they're coming from. That's why you see certain people who seem to be eager, almost, to add more kidneys and more kidneys and more kidneys every year, because they're coming from that way of thinking. Rav Moshe Feinstein is very unhappy with that, and he says, that's just not the way it works. Look on page 7. Rav Moshe Feinstein is dealing with peanuts. And he says, I don't think there's a problem with peanuts on Pesach. I don't think you can make new definitions of kidneys that were not there in the original minhag. Look in number 32. I think maybe I overstated it. He's not very unhappy with it. He just doesn't agree with it. Look in number 32. Many people eat peanuts on Pesach. People make peanut flour. Began shamash and nizarim besadot. And it's also fair in the field. Kishar kinyot. Why is peanut? He said, why are peanuts not prohibited because of kinyot? And by the way, you can get lots of great flour from other things. I once went to a restaurant in, where was I? Atlanta somewhere. And I had yucca bread. Anyone ever had yucca bread? It's from yucca flour. It was absolutely undistinguishable from the most delicious bread. Normal, regular bread. Fantastic. Amazing. Recommend it. Never had it since, but it was very good. Okay? Yucca. From a yucca flower. From a yucca plant. Oh. Don't ask. Okay, fine. So he says, people ask questions about peanuts. Aval yada, he says, you should know, she'ein zeha in cloud. It's just not how it works. She'kol advarim ha'oisim mehem kemach nesru mimin like that. You can't just say that anything is made, which you make into flour is also a spit kidney. That's not how it works. There's nothing which you make more into flour than potatoes. Even in Europe where we used to live, no one ever wanted to ask a kid of potatoes, he says. Which is interesting because there were those that did. But he doesn't take that seriously. He says no one seriously ever wanted to play with potatoes. And we had potato flour all the time. And even the reason that things get mixed in, this is not a problem generally, it's not the clash of, you can't turn around and say, every time anyone comes up with any statement, oh, we discovered that occasionally this gets mixed up, oh, that means it's also because you can't say that. That's not how it works. The ha'anis, there's anis and kimmel. People do find there are mixed up wheat and gerd kernels in them. Become makam loy asram kimaforish baramah. And we didn't ask that. So he says, you have to understand that kidney does not work like other things. This is his view. The second paragraph. Lachain. Ein lanu budava elamah shemaforish shenagul as. The only thing which is kidneyous is that which we clearly know was kidneyous in the Middle Ages. That which is well known and publicized. And he goes completely the opposite direction. No group of rabbis, he said, ever got together to prohibit kidneyot. No group of rabbis. They just encouraged people to develop minhagim to be careful. Because of what they said. And he says again in bold in a couple of lines, Loi nesra ela haminim shehinhigu velot shar minim. They only answered what they answered. Shaloi hinhigu mitnei shaloi haimatsuim as. If it's not in the minhag, it's not in the minhag. And zel, you can't start creating a new minhag from nothing. Meaning minhagim are organic. They grow from the people. They don't grow from someone who wrote an article or a blog who thinks that now we should answer this because of kidney. Therefore, Rav Moshe comes along and says a fundamentally different way of thinking. It's not a din derabbanan. It's not something which was nigzar by a group of rabbis, a bet din in the Middle Ages. People just developed this as an evolving, organic minhag, and therefore what is in, and what is not in, is not in. And potatoes are not in because they didn't have them. And coffee is not in, and peanuts are not in, and quinoa is not in. And that's why the OU clearly says, as long as, obviously it's kasher lePesach, you have to check that it has a proper hechsher, because that's another issue. There is no reason they say why you can't eat quinoa. And the machlokas on quinoa, I think, reflects this fundamental meta-halachic machlokas on where kidneyot comes from. Is it a gezeira or is it a minhag which grew up organically? If the latter, then you're not going to be able to just almost randomly change it. I just want to end with one point on page 8, if you don't mind. I brought you a couple of, in section D, which I'm not going to go through now, distinctions between kidneyot and chomet. Meaning we are more lenient with kidneyot than chomet. If kidneyot gets mixed into your food, then it doesn't make the food asur on Pesach as long as it's Pesachtik. If kidneyot, you can use them, you can get benefit from them, you can keep them in the house. If you have rice in the house, which you know haven't got anything chomet in it, you can keep that in the house on Pesach as well. The last thing I just wanted to mention, you can look at the sources yourself, but I brought you a very interesting machlokas between, on the one hand, the Chasam Sofer talking about kidneys, and Rav Kook talking about kidneys. The Chasam Sofer let's talk about Rav Kook first. Rav Kook is talking in a very famous machlokas that happened in the old Yeshuv about sesame seed oil. For Rav Kook, this was one of the defining moments in which the rabbis in the old Yeshuv, Diskin and others, Rav Diskin had passed away by then, it was Rav Sonnenfeld, Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, realized that Rav Kook was going to be something a little bit different than what they had expected. It only obviously got more and more pronounced as time went on, but this issue in the early 20th century on the sesame seed oil, Rav Kook came out and said, I don't think we should be machmir, and you'll see that he writes here in number 38 that this tendency to always push for more and more chumras, he said, it's not good. It even goes against the Kabbalah, he said. And he said, that was not the way I was brought up. Look in the last two lines of number 38. Or the emes darchem shel rabbi sai hagaonim, hatzadikim, shezachisi l'shamsham. My rabbis, he said, the Ritziv, who was the Rosh Shiva of Elojim, schutzam yagin aleinu, v'akol Yisrael, hayashaloi hi yot notin lahachmir. My approach and their approach was not to try and look for chumras. Not because we want to try and take shortcuts, but because that's not a legitimate way of developing halachic thinking. If there's room to be mekel, you can be mekel. Especially where something has a weak basis, like kidney. Contrast that and think about this with the Chasam Sofer in number 39. Let's give him the last word on kidneys. No one is as big as the previous Vatei Din were. Even if you are bigger, you can't take away a siag. Not only can we not get rid of kidneyot, we have to make more fences. Siagim. More siagim. V'loy achshadara, because the generation today surely is no better than it was then. Which, by the way, Rav Kook may also disagree on. Okay? Ki avonaz avonaz harbe, hador parut malot. The generation is so focused on this. We have to be stronger and stronger. Lahachmir, always to be more machmir. Valoy lahakel, and never to be more mekel. Now, you see here, if ever you wonder why there seem to be different voices in Klal Yisrael today on different issues, you see their roots run very deep on this issue. And Kitniyot is a perfect example of this. Hopefully this will allow us to have a good kosher Kitniyot through Pesach if we don't have Kitniyot. And we'll see over the next 50 years where Kitniyot goes. Have a great week. Next week, Gebroch.
Thank you very much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.